Welcome back. This week, we're taking a bit of a different approach. We want to reflect, really focus on the key takeaways from Brother Steve's message this past Sunday evening. That was October 26, 2025.
This is quite a message. It moved pretty quickly, didn't it? From announcements about church life right into, well, deep Old Testament prophecy, Daniel chapter 7.
It certainly did. So our goal here for you listening is to maybe distill the heart of it, that central theme, the certainty of the coming king.
Right, because the message really highlighted how, well, chaotic the world feels right now. And the question becomes, where do Christians find that solid ground, that immovable encouragement?
It's about seeing God's hand, his plan, even when things seem completely off the rails.
Exactly. Understanding he has a script, even when the world feels unscripted.
And that focus on certainty is just so needed. But, you know, before jumping into Daniel's vision, the message started very grounded. Reminders about the urgency of ministry right now, right here.
Mm-hmm. The OCC boxes came up again. The need for gifts aimed at men and boys specifically.
Yes, and the Harvest Fest that's coming up soon. Plus, that very personal prayer request for Jim Lytle, the local vet. Brother Steve shared a real concern for him, didn't he? Especially after his health scare, that he might not know the Lord yet.
And that immediacy, that local focus, it actually sets the stage perfectly, I think. It shows that even as we talk about these huge, prophetic, long-term things,
the gospel is still person to person, urgent,
right,
in our community.
Yes, the temporal and the eternal always intersecting.
Okay, so let's shift then to the part where current events were discussed. That part set a, well, a heavy tone before the main study. Brother Steve was very direct about his view on Christ's return.
He was. The source quotes him saying, "I don't think it'll be 5 billion years until Jesus will come again. I think Jesus is coming soon."
That sense of imminence really fuels the urgency we were just talking about.
It does. And interestingly, he placed that expectation right alongside the current spiritual situation. The message touched on what the speaker described as a hard-heartedness among many Jewish people today.
He linked it back historically, didn't he? Centuries of persecution, 586 BC onward, and described their current state, in the source materials terms, as bondage to a false system.
Right. Now, we need to be clear for you, the listener, the source, uses that phrase polemically. It's framing a resistance to Christ theologically, connecting it to historical suffering. It's a specific interpretation presented in the message.
And then that historical perspective was connected to some, frankly, startling observations about modern politics.
Mm.
Specific Jewish politicians were mentioned. Senator Schumer was named.
Yes, aligning with what the source termed a new left-wing move, which the speaker argued actually works against Israel's own interests.
And the analysis went deeper, connecting these political alignments to a broader societal issue. The upcoming NYC election was mentioned.
Mm-hmm. Specifically, the candidate Madani.
Hmm.
The source reported claims that this candidate wants to arrest Netanyahu and would support Hamas keeping its weapons.
And the argument presented in the source was that the possibility of such a candidate gaining traction points to a widespread public, well, the words used were ineptitude and ignorance.
A strong charge. And the source laid the blame for that perceived ignorance partly on the education system.
Claiming that removing the Holocaust from school textbooks over the last, what, 25, 30 years has created a kind of historical vacuum, a lack of perspective on these conflicts.
That was the argument put forward, a very pointed one. And the conclusion drawn from all this was significant.
That this societal trend, ignoring history, potentially electing hostile figures, it mirrors what can happen within Christianity itself.
Exactly. When denominations or churches move away from the grace of God towards what the source called the world system of social gospel, the argument was that the result is always a move away from biblical truth. A decline.
So it paints a pretty bleak picture of the current moment. Political confusion, societal drift.
Which is precisely why the message then pivoted. It built a bridge of hope, didn't it? Assuring everyone that God's plan remains fixed, absolutely secure, regardless of this temporary chaos.
Yes, that transition was crucial. It brought the service to the end of that series on Israel's position in the tribulation.
Reviewing those five key aspects. The covenants, collecting, chastisement, comfort, and finally, commission. The emphasis was clear. The tribulation period is specifically Israel's time. For testing, yes, but also for restoration.
Let's focus on that last C, the commission. What role do saved Jewish people play in God's end-time plan, according to the message?
They become preachers, proclaimers of the word. The source highlighted the 144,000 Messianic Jews from Revelation chapter 7, verse 3.
These individuals who are sealed, divinely protected, so they can't be harmed or killed during that period.
That's the picture. A divinely protected group, the message called them the cream of the crop evangelists, specifically set apart for this task.
And their work has a massive impact.
Huge. Their ministry, according to Revelation 7.9, leads directly to that great multitude which no one could number. Gentiles from every nation, tribe, and tongue coming to faith.
So it's an assurance, really. Even in the absolute darkest hour, God's plan for salvation succeeds. It reaches the whole world through these protected workers.
And that assurance of success, that confidence in God's plan, leads us right into the new study topic that started Sunday night. His kingdom will come, focusing on Daniel chapter 7.
Okay, so Daniel 7, when everything feels like it's falling apart, why turn to this ancient text? Why is it so vital now?
Well, the message made a very strong point about biblical authority here. It argued that the Bible's authenticity finds its, perhaps its single greatest verification in fulfilled prophecy.
More so than science or archaeology. That's a challenging thought for many today.
It is. The reasoning given was based on the sheer scope of knowledge required. The source quoted Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10, where God declares he is declaring the end from the beginning.
Meaning, archaeology might confirm a past event, but only God can accurately predict thousands of years of future history.
That's the essence of it. That predictive power spanning millennia is presented as incontrovertible proof of divine authorship.
And Daniel 7 is presented as maybe the prime example of this. It was described as the most comprehensive, pervasive, panoramic prophecy in the Bible.
Sweeping all the way from Daniel's own lifetime, there in Babylon, right through history to the return of Christ. Laying out God's incredible, unchangeable, redemptive plan. It's staggering in scope.
Given that scale, the timing becomes really interesting. Daniel 7, verse 1, tells us the vision came during the first year of Belshazzar's reign. Why then?
We have to remember Israel's situation at that exact moment. As the message pointed out, they were deep in Babylonian captivity.
Their temple destroyed, their land desolate, feeling like, as the source put it, a non-existent nation.
Absolutely. Facing that despairing question we see echoed in Jeremiah 33.24, has God rejected us? Has he forsaken his people?
So the timing is everything. It's God speaking hope directly into their darkest hour.
Exactly. The core purpose of this massive vision, revealed right then, was to shout, no. God has not permanently set aside his promises. When your earthly kingdom is in ruins, look up. There's a glorious, marvelous future coming. Guaranteed.
A future involving purging, yes, but also restoration and rebuilding.
Mm-hmm. So the whole theme of Daniel 7 really boils down to this.
Yeah.
The king is coming. His eternal kingdom will be established.
And that vision in verses 13 and 14 is the absolute anchor. One like the Son of Man coming, then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom.
The complete opposite of their current reality in Babylon. The ultimate reversal.
So the message set up the upcoming study around this coming kingdom.
Yes, structured around three main points for the weeks ahead. The coronation, looking at the who, which is Jesus, the climax of all history.
Mm.
Then the character, the what will this kingdom actually be like, and the chronology, the when.
And the where is settled too.
The whole earth.
Yeah.
His reign will be global.
That is such a powerful truth to hold on to, especially when, as the message highlighted, we look around today, we see ignorance seeming to gain ground, history being dismissed, political situations that feel precarious.
We're watching a world system that seems to be failing, fraying at the edges.
So the call is to look beyond that temporary decay, to fix our eyes on the certainty we see in Daniel's vision.
That was the closing emphasis. The greatest event in all of redemptive history isn't just some far-off possibility. It's a guaranteed reality. It's imminent. The coronation of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
That future certainty has to change how we view the present uncertainty.
It must. That promise overrides every worrying headline, every sign of social or political decline.
So here's maybe the final thought to leave with you, the listener, drawing directly from the source material's logic. If God gave this prophecy to encourage his people when their kingdom felt like it was disintegrating under a ruler like Belshazzar.
Right, when things looked hopeless from a human perspective.
Then what does hearing these same ancient promises mean for us right now as we observe the current world system showing its cracks? That's the question the message really poses. How does the certainty of Christ's coming kingdom change your perspective on today's chaos?
A question worth pondering deeply. And we anticipate getting into more of the meat and potatoes of Daniel 7 next time as Brother Steve continues the study.